Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and no other things. Nothing outside or in the middle. I'm Layman Pascal, and as you know, I am ruthlessly opposed to all ambiguity, diversity, and peculiarity. So if you're watching this at home and you're holding an event that requires that standard conventional dualities are mercilessly enforced with a no-nonsense attitude, my rates are very reasonable. Don't hesitate to reach out to me or my new production company, You Can't Prove It's Not Metamodern Productions. And before we get started, I'd like to make some news by making an important announcement. Who has no thumbs and just converted to Christianity? This guy. I'm a proud Christian now, and I think it's important to note that my conversion occurred about an hour and a half before Jordan Hall's conversion, so technically I have seniority. Welcome, everyone. Today, in conjunction with Parallax Media, the Integral Stage, and Pascal's Batcave, I am pleased to be Roast Master General for this unique event, the Global Liminal Comedy Roast of Alexander Bard. This is the first time that Parallax has tried something like this, and we are complete amateurs. So the slogan that Tom and Mark and I came up with for tonight's event is the very honest slogan, "This will definitely suck a little," which I've been told is also what it says on the welcome mat at the front door of Alexander Bard's house. That was a terrible joke, obviously, but was it also a homophobic joke? No, it was not. Absolutely, it was not. Integrity and inclusion are very important to Parallax and to me personally. So before we came out here tonight, I made completely sure that none of my jokes were homophobic by letting Alexander suck me off before the show. That's so dumb. Anyway, I'm the Roast Master, which is something like a fluffer, and my job is to fondle your minds a little bit so that you're ready to get reamed in the sociological gangbang we are about to unleash. What I need to do now is to prep you at home and everyone here for what's about to happen and what is about to happen. It's a weird, amateurish admixture of silliness, crudeness, and hyper-intellectuality. It's a liminal roast. So as a roast, we expect the jokes will be insulting, crass, mildly funny, and mostly based in flimsy stereotypes and the childish graffiti of the mind. And yet, oddly, the people involved here are intellectually competent weirdos from the liminal web. So if you get offended by the crude references to sex, gender, race, and ethnic cleansing, don't get me started. At least you'll be hearing from them framed in unbearably arcane and pointlessly articulate philosophical and psychoanalytic phrasing. So you've been definitely warned. Either get out now or join us. And joining me now in performing what I'm told meets the international legal standard for slander and defamation are tonight's roasters. Let's see who we've got. Daniel Toboggan is here for some reason, a man whose prominence and renown in the liminal network is matched only by his keen fashion sense and dedication to hygiene. If you don't recognize Daniel, it's probably because you were drunk when he groped you. Seriously, Daniel looks like what it would happen if you took a chubby Jewish hobo and breathed him, fed him straight helium gas and released him into a playground for children with mental disabilities. Hashtag relatable. Now, for those who don't know, Daniel's from the Toronto crew in Canada. Daniel puts the sleazy psycho in the Psychotechnologies podcast that he co-hosts with a damnable Australian. So clearly both his patriotism and his judgment are suspect. In all honesty, though, I do like Daniel. He's a legit shamanoid and Jewish metamodern crypto rabbi with two lovely children. But admittedly, he was not one of our first choices for this event. Daniel's here tonight because the Palestinian roaster we originally arranged was suddenly forced out, which Alexander Bard claims is well within our rights to do. Apparently, it's part of the Zoroastrian New World Order. Raven Connolly is also here. Raven is charming, delightful, brilliant, dynamic. We've interviewed her on the Integral Stage, and she always brings a unique voice and energy, and importantly, a theory of energy, to leading-edge discussion spaces. Raven can hold her own with anyone, but in the liminal web, as we all know, diversity tends to be a problem. We are definitely overpopulated by Anglo-Saxon white dudes, so let's not kid ourselves about why Raven is really here. It's because she's a Negro. Farsam Farsam something is here. Who is this guy? He's somehow everywhere and also completely under the radar. If anybody tonight is on the payroll of a global intelligence agency, it's probably this guy. Nah, I don't really mean that. Intelligence would be a considerable overstatement. And Farsam definitely does not work for the government. In fact, he's more like a terrorist than a government agent. That is, if years of photobombing integral community events counts as terrorism. Okay, who else is here? We've got itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, nutty Professor Andrew Sweeney. Andrew would be considered a woo-woo faux intellectual throwback at home in Canada, but in Europe he passes for spiritually sophisticated. Actually, I have some trouble coming up with jokes about Andrew, but then I remembered his interest in the occult, so I decided to pull a tarot card to see if I could get inspired. So I closed my eyes and I reached into the shuffled deck and I opened my heart to inspiration and I pulled out a card for Andrew and it was the Seven of Gullible Mumblings. Yeah. Now, being serious, I enjoy my conversations with Andrew and I like him a lot as a person. Andrew had a bit of a health scare recently with his knee and he was worried he might end up losing the leg. And one of the weirdest things I've seen in the whole new philosophy and new culture movement lately is a persistent conspiracy theory that somehow Andrew's leg was actually amputated and he's been hiding this from us. I think that's a crazy idea. I've been watching Andrew's interviews and courses very closely, and as far as I can tell from the sheer quality and richness of what he's providing, it looks more probable to me that the rest of him got amputated and now the leg is doing all the thinking. Wait, what? Brent Cooper is here. And to borrow words from U.S. President Donald Trump to describe himself, Brent is a very stable genius. Brent is one of the most articulate, insightful, and morally passionate researchers and theorists of metamodernism, universally respected for his willingness to call out hypocrisy and ideological cowardice wherever he sees it. And unlike other big names in the field, Brent is willing to put aside his emotional reactions and work to converge around consensus and reconciliation. And let me tell you, it's paid off in a big way. Brent is raking in the cash as well as the accolades. Plus, his videos are not weird and off-putting at all. There's no joke here. I couldn't come up with a joke about Brent, so I'm just stating obvious facts that everyone knows. Please don't laugh. Of course, Alex Ebert is here. If you've looked him up on IMDb, you'll know that Ebert co-hosted a televised movie review show with Gene Siskel in the 80s and 90s, but now he's regressing. Honestly, the only philosopher who would look more at home in the 1970s than Alex would be Friedrich Nietzsche if he worked in the porn industry. Ebert looks like the Sesame Street puppet version of an aging metropolitan hipster curmudgeon. I know, it's cheap to pick on someone's appearance. I had other jokes, better jokes about Ebert, but I made the mistake of running them past him first to make sure he was okay with them. What I got back from him was a joke card with almost every word I'd written redacted, blacked out, censored. When I asked him what was the matter, what was so offensive or upsetting about the jokes I'd written, he said, no, it was nothing. It's just that according to Hegel, the true joke is the negation of the content of jokes. Bruce Alderman is here too. Everyone knows Bruce and I work closely together, so I asked Bruce which sort of well-recognizable traits about himself would make good fodder for roast joke zingers. He suggested, and this is absolutely true, that I could make fun of him for his, quote, quirk of staring off into space on the upper right of the screen while answering questions on Zoom calls. Ba-doom-cha. Comedy gold, Bruce. With a razor-sharp wit like that, I can't wait to hear his jokes tonight. Maybe he'll throw in something about grammatology. I can't believe this guy's underappreciated. Nerd. Actually, a lot of you might not know that Bruce in real life writes sci-fi erotica under the pen name of VJ Musk. And folks, you know I love graphic trans-species porn almost as much as Raven Connolly does, but this stuff's a little bit tepid. It's oddly dull. As a matter of fact, to quote one of VJ Musk's protagonists, Galaxia, the seven-breasted green-skinned nymphomaniac alien who landed on the Earth, and because she mistook the identity of the dominant terrestrial species, ended up allowing herself to get mounted by a literal male pig in the forest, it's a fucking bore. Boo. And speaking of fucking boring, Alexander Bard is here, the not-so-sultry Sultan of Synthism. Everyone's favorite breast-obsessed little boy with a beard, and I think it's probably accurate to describe Alexander as the original digital nomad. Or, from the looks of him, maybe that should be the original digital gnome. Maybe we could all make a quick buck selling statuettes of tiny Alexander Bards with tiny red Santa hats that people could put out their front doors for good luck. You know, a lot of people say Alexander Bard is the best living Scandinavian philosopher. But saying someone is the best living Scandinavian philosopher is a lot like saying you have the best kind of AIDS. Now, personally, I like Alexander, so it was hard to write insults about him. I especially hesitated to make fun of his mental illness, which is a challenging topic to bring up at the best of times. It's not an easy thing to live with a multiple personality disorder and to have a brain that is convinced about the existence of unreal entities and fake people. Some psychiatrists say it's never helpful to confront a disturbed person with the fact that they're living in a fantasy world. They say the healthiest thing you can do is sort of benevolently play along with their delusions. So, from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of Alexander, I want to say to our whole community, thank you. Thank you for benevolently playing along. Thank you for pretending that Alexander actually does have a writing partner named Jan Soderquist. We all believe you. Seriously, though, together Jan and Alexander have done more than anyone else over the last few decades to convince me that taking drugs and masturbating to internet porn counts as a real religion, or what Alexander calls wankology or masturbatology. No, I'm kidding again. Masturbatology is a term used by literary critics to refer to Alexander's writing style. But I guess it's okay if he's a terrible writer and a bad philosopher because he has so many other useful skills. Alexander is obviously more than just a writer. He's a multi-talented icon and a true cultural force. And interestingly, you might not know this, he won the internationally recognized Darius the Great Award for working closely with the Japanese to both design and road test the 2024 Mazda Uhura, a vehicle that Car and Driver Monthly called this year's most affordable mid-sized vehicle for the whole Sociant. And when I read that, I said, well, it's about time. Sorry, those were painfully obscure references to Zoroastrianism, history, and philosophy. I thought I'd give it a try, but clearly it didn't work, and you're all hoping I go back to the masturbation and racism stuff. And given enough time, I definitely will. Okay, thanks for your indulgence, folks. And without further ado, and hardly any guff, let's get to the main event tonight, the gloriously silly disaster of the inaugural Parallax and Integral Stage Global Liminal Roast, where the first person to go meta is the loser. So let's bring on the pathos with our first roaster, Andrew the Sween Sweeney.
Hello, everybody. Alexander Bard is a genius. There's just no question. He's just the smartest guy I've ever met. And he's just such a nice guy, you know, such a mensch, such the he's beautiful. I love him so much, except when he has Tourette's syndrome on the fucking IDW. And he writes in all caps and insults me and makes me feel like I have a small penis. I've done hundreds of podcasts with Mr. Bard, including the very famous podcast called Andrew Sweeney the Masochist versus Alexander Bard the Executioner and Phallic Worshipper, who interrupts everybody. Alexander Bard likes to think of himself as Camille Paglia with a dick, but I know who he really is. He's a gay Jordan Peterson from Sweden. Yeah, that's who he is. And if he wrote the book 12 Rules for Life based on Zoroastrian, Hegelian, Lacanian, Freudian, Tantric philosophy, these would be his 12 rules, okay? So first, stand up straight with your big Zoroastrian phallus, everybody. Okay? Be the oldest pervert on acid at Burning Man. If you see a Gnostic pillar saint on the street, you should shoot him. If you see a boy pharaoh, you should fuck him in the asshole. Only handsome young men with big dicks are allowed behind the Bard Absolute. That's rule number five. Rule number six, communism means rich Zoroastrian libertarians who have all the power and the money. Rule number seven, God is a giant digital phallus in the sky. Rule number eight, can't Plato and Jordan Peterson have very small penises? Rule number nine, Hegel, Nietzsche, and Freud have big dicks and are really Zoroastrians. And so is Padmasambhava, and so are the Sufis. And in fact, everyone I think is cool as a Zoroastrian. And Rule number 10, real women are like Margaret Thatcher with a big penis. Rule number 11, you don't have to be gay to be a phallus worshiper. Rule number 12, when you die, you just die. That is the ultimate philosophical statement. So anyway, thank you so much, Alexander, for giving us the true tantric philosophy. There you go. That's it for me.
Pretty good.
Terrific, Andrew. Thank you.
Great, Andrew.
And again, it's important to leave a short pause before you start speaking so that Tom can throw in some music if he wants to. Our next roaster is Craven Ronnelly. Welcome to the stage, Raven Connolly.
Hello, everybody, and I'm Raven. I'm the token vagina for the evening. So thank you very much for inviting me. So you don't have to feel like a bunch of gay philosophers all sucking Alexander Bard's dick in the evening. You know, and I've been asking myself, why don't I have anything better to do than hang out with a bunch of old white guys? What is going on? Do I have daddy issues? Is that what you would say, Alexander? Is that what's going on with me? And I'm also not particularly funny. And I don't think anybody's ever thought that about me. You know, I'm in that middle zone of attractiveness where smart, disembodied nerds were giving me enough attention that I didn't have to develop a sense of humor. But now I live in Stockholm, so I have to work a little bit harder to get attention. So here I am. Trying to roast Alexander Bard. But, you know, actually, I have so much warmth in my heart for you, Alexander, because you've really changed the trajectory of my entire life. I remember back in the days when I was just discovering Sweeney versus Bard. And, you know, I was just so shocked and titillated by watching such open displays of sexual assault. You know, the way that you dominated Andrew was just, I had to look deeply into myself to understand why I was attracted to this. So, but in all seriousness, Alexander, what a man. I remember you had me stay at your apartment for a few weeks in Stockholm, and we visited the borderland. And you know, it was such a amazing experience to really see you as a lesbian with a built-in dildo. This was just great. I saw your motherliness. You just really wanted to take care of me. And, you know, I felt safe the entire time because while you may be a lesbian with a built-in dildo, you're not attracted to women. No, that's a joke. That is seriously a joke. But you know, why am I really here tonight? I'm here tonight because I really wanted to get attention and approval from a pop star. But I don't actually mean you, Alexander. Ebert, give me a call. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have a boyfriend who I actually did meet at your apartment, Alexander, which was actually a ketamine den at the time. So it's been great. This has been wonderful. I hope that I have roasted you sufficiently, Alexander. And see you at Madtown. Thanks, you guys.
Terrific. Thank you, Raven. You look like if Janis Joplin was a self-loathing steampunk witch. Coming up next, be a bolder man. It's Bruce Alderman.
I understand we're supposed to insult the person who came before us, so cronkity bonk da wonk da thonk to catch the cockachulia. And if you can speak crow, that's a serious burn, Raven. All right, so I'm really fascinated by
that's good.
Alexander's writings on religion and his religious choices. And I understand that Zoroastrians don't normally accept converts, but well, you try saying no to an angry garden gnome hopped up on speed. Seriously, I think Alexander's right that Syntheism or any other newfangled religion will likely fail without adequate philosophical and theological foundation beneath it. And since Zoroastrianism is very old, obscure, nearly memberless, and practically dead, he thought, well, if no one else is using this, wisely for extra buttressing, he pairs Zoroastrianism up with Taoism and Buddhism for a so-called Silk Road triad. As a former sex worker and bisexual, apparently he never lost his love of silk and threesomes. Buddhism is definitely the woman here. Alexander Bard, philosophy's enfant terrible, apparently dresses for work by raiding Aleister Crowley's baby closet. He's the only man I know who can discuss the metaphysics of sex and death and still look like he's about to ask for his sippy cup back. I heard Alexander became a philosopher after he lost his job as a Where's Waldo model. No one ever had to ask where he was because look at it, you can spot those socks from space. Who spouts neologisms like a Swedish woman queefs? Why, it's the bald Hegelian in tartan briefs. And how to be a philosopher beyond all mocking? Be the one who dresses like Pippi Longstocking. Looking at Alexander's fashion choices, I'm starting to think his philosophy books are just elaborate explanations for his wardrobe choices. Alexander's wardrobe is really, seriously, I want to get a little bit more technical and highbrow for you. His wardrobe is a case study in membranics, where each piece of clothing is less about covering a body and more about connecting to the cosmic network of what on earth is he wearing. So have any of you read Process and Event yet? I don't have much time to read these days and usually prefer audio. And with a heavy book like this, audio is pretty difficult going. Luckily, Layman told me about Bala Borka, which is this software program that can read stuff out loud to you. And I was really pleased to find that they had the Muppets Swedish Chef voice option available to me. So I just set it there and let it go. It's much easier going down. And I'm relenting now. After I have to just pause a moment to let the laughter subside, and I'll pass this on.
Borka, Borka, Borka. Thank you, Bruce. Coming up next, we've got Farsam Shiblabadibla.
Say shit and they ain't say nothing. 100 motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I bees in the trap, bees in the trap. I bees in the trap, bees in the trap.
So thank you all for having me here. I guess now I understand why I was invited. Apparently, this is the closest thing you guys can actually find to a token Zoroastrian, being of Persian heritage. And I'm going to have to ask a couple of questions here, but I have to start off, of course, by acknowledging what a big influence Bruce Alderman has been on me, my life, my work, my scholastic career. Bruce... I can't remember the names of any of your works, and I'm going to really have to struggle to even pull together any citations, but at some point, I'm going to have to remember what you wrote, and we're going to have to get together and catch up. I thank you all for having me here. I cannot disclose my location at this time, but it is Austin, Texas, and I'm at the Hotel Magdalena, and I'm sitting in the lobby by myself. There's only one lobby. Music Lane. So let's get real, guys. I really don't know why I was invited. I've never heard of Alexander Bard in my life. I Googled him 5 minutes before this. The internet connection here isn't great. I'm not joking to any degree. I have no idea who you are, Alexander. In fact, right now I'm just kind of scrolling through the Zoom here on my phone. I don't even know that I'm not the resolution's not even great. I don't even know which one of you is Alexander. I was based on the jokes. So can somebody just please tell me why this man matters? Why are we doing this? Is this some part of some? Is it possible this is an actual intervention that's being run right now? This was all under the guise of a comedy roast.
Is there a story? Is there a story?
No, no. Okay. Well, I mean, in the event that this is an intervention, listen. It's important that you do get help. The first choice is the choice to get better. Okay. I think if you're just willing to receive the love and support from those who have bothered to show up here and let you know that they do care, they do think that you do have a problem, a serious problem, and receive the perception of others beyond your own monological gaze that's so exoterically fixated on the technology and transtopian nightmares we may be all creating here together. But genuinely, a couple of people that I DM'd right before this did say I should bother to pay a little bit of attention to you, Alexander. So I guess at some point I'm going to have to wait till I have some Amazon gift cards and maybe I'll get a book sent to me that'll sit on a pile of things that eventually I'll get to. Unless the singularity hits first, but... does anyone have anything to inform me about Alexander? I understand that we can all comment and make jokes here, share our insights. What am I supposed to understand about this man's contribution to humanity, contemporary society? Nobody. So, I mean, does this not say much as far as we're concerned? Alexander, since I may be the closest thing to a living Zoroastrian legacy holder you've ever met, is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Where did you find this guy? I love this guy. This is the most original roast ever, Farzam. You're a genius.
Okay.
We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Yes. I just want to make sure that this isn't also the off-the-shelf software that Google just... handed down because they renamed Bard Gemini and now that Bard AI.
I told them to. So Bard is closed down. It's all Gemini.
Effectively worth nothing.
Yes.
It's open source.
I have my name back. I have my name back. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Alexander Gemini, it was a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm very sorry about that. If we'd known that guy was Persian, he would never have gotten in. Coming up next, Brent the Unbent Cooper. Tom's going to load up a video Brent gave us.
All right. We got a great show for you tonight. Everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to the show. We're going to have a fantastic show for you. Brilliant to see you here. Oh my God. It's going to be amazing. It's a late night shit show, everybody. Late night shit show. Greetings, fellow pigs of the roast. I had to whip this together kind of last minute because that's how much I care. Hello to everyone out there. If you're wondering who these people are, just imagine the cast of a Big Bang Theory, but right winging on drugs. It's an honor to be here. It's a very inclusive space where we really lower the bar of what it means to be a philosopher so that we can all be one. Great to be here, to be a part of the intellectual deep web where the Venn diagram of psychonauts and psychopaths is nearly a circle. It's a place I come to make myself feel better about knowing things. Whenever I get imposter syndrome, I just check the IDW and poof, I'm cured. No, but seriously, we got a lot of smart people in the space, a lot of very intelligent people. They just couldn't make it tonight. Andrew Sweeney, you metrosexual son of a bitch. Here we have a guy who is going for the look of Jay Peterman, the political sensibility of Jordan Peterson, and the Jungian psychology of Peter Pan. Sweeney and I met in 2019 in Kiev. He probably doesn't remember, you know, but he asked me for an explain it like I'm five version of metamodernism. So that means in intellectual terms, now he should be about nine years old. Raven Connolly is here. Good to see you, Raven. I know why she's called Raven, because she has a dark soul and likes to hang around trash. We used to be Facebook friends, Raven and I. She ended that. Yeah, little hit and run. I doubt she remembers why. It's a mystery, just like what her contributions are to the liminal discourse. I'm kidding, of course. I mean, we all know her role is intellectual groupie. Bruce Alderman is here. He believes in UFOs. He may or may not have been abducted. I have some probing questions. He doesn't have any proof, of course, but he claims to have had firsthand paranormal experiences. And well, that definitely meets the standard for a compelling argument here in the intellectual deep web. In fact, Bruce is so deep in it, he actually worked with Stephen Greer. That's right, Mr. Disclosure himself. Now that is commitment to the bit. Bruce is an adjunct professor at the JFK University School of Psychology, not to be confused with the JFK School of Government over at Harvard. No, JFK University is one of those new age integral schools. More power to him, frankly, because Harvard sucks anyway. But, you know, so we got to go with the lesser of two evils for sure. Alex Ebert is here, everybody. Alex Ebert. How can I roast a fellow leftist? I'll give it a try. Alex Ebert looks like a cross between Tim Minchin and Jared Leto emerging from one of his weird cult retreats. A music rock star philosopher in his own right. He's like a younger, smarter, cooler, nicer, progressive version of Bard. You know what Ebert's problem really is? You know, he actually likes hanging out with these right-wing freaks. Daniel Tabakman, another person I have no idea who you are and wish I didn't have to learn. Because with Daniel, we find another bloodthirsty Zionist. And he's a fellow Canadian, like myself. So he supports human rights violations here in Canada and all the way over in the Middle East. Trying to do research on Daniel was hard because so many of his retweets are from now suspended accounts. Daniel's bio says he's a psychotechnologist, which is a fancy way of saying he's good at bullshitting. Finally, last and certainly least, we get to Alexander Bard, the biggest pig here. Doing a little research here, Bard's full name is actually Alexander Bengt Magnus Bard. The literal translation of which is manliness, blessed, greatest poet. Which is very ironic because he's an effeminate, cursed, worst blowhard, in my opinion. Alexander Bard, the Bard of Bombast, as I used to call him. But as I've gotten to know him better, you know, it's very clear he's afraid of autistic people, especially little girls like Greta Thunberg. And given his hatred of autistics, I thought maybe we should call him the ballistic allistic. The Swedish meatball was already taken. Puts the ass in Zoroastrian. I don't make the rules, you know. Also thought maybe the monad with no gonads. Kidding aside, though, you know, it does take a lot of balls to show up here and let yourself be roasted. The rest of the fliminal web should take note, you know, and follow suit. We're putting them on notice. Bard is just the first domino to fall. We arrive at this inevitable point where the only way to critique Bard is to turn everything into a joke, to make it lighthearted and silly, to the point where the critique itself becomes a joke. Bard is a Zionist, and a proud one at that. And it's too bad, really, that we couldn't roast him before his side started indiscriminately bombing civilians and getting dragged internationally for flagrant war crimes. But, you know, we don't have a time machine to go back to 1948. So, you know, we're kind of out of luck there. Some of my favorite people are Jews, though, honestly, truth be told. Just not the ones that like to see history repeat itself. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. according to some Zionist propaganda that I was reading, which also said that the International Court of Justice hates itself. I was watching Team America World Police lately. Good reminder that the foreign policy analysis of the South Park creators is better than Bard's. And you may recall from the film, there's a kind of scene where they say there's three types of people: pussies, dicks, and assholes. Well, Bard is all three. I mean, I think you know that at this point. He's the triple threat. But let's drill down on that. Let's get down to brass tacks. See, Bard is not a philosopher king, as he would like to think. He's a philosopher kink, you know? He's a bit of a weirdo in the world of ideas. Gets himself into trouble. Speaking of cancel culture, the Me Too movement came after Bard. That's right. Several women and men have come forward accusing him of having a rapier wit. Everybody knows Bard is a prolific writer, along with Jan Söderqvist. And Bard has a co-author for the same reason he has a band, which is even though he's a megalomaniac, he can't accomplish anything on his own. He partners up with people so he can be the diva and outsource the hard work to his partners at the same time. Speaking of music, I saw Bard formed a band once called Vacuum. I wonder if that's because they suck. Bard calls himself a far-right Marxist. That's hilarious, I think, because that's what I call a perfect oxymoron. Bard is a big fan of James Lindsay, I saw recently. Made me want to gouge my eyes out, frankly. I mean, that guy Lindsay was crazy nuts in 2018, so just imagine how crazy he is now. Bard is really reaching for those C-list intellectual dark webbers. I mean, scraping the bottom of the barrel, you know, the sovereign nations that Lindsay is a part of and Bard endorses. I mean, they're really the pick-me boys of white Christian nationalism. The Southern Poverty Law Center called James Lindsay a, quote, leading voice in the reactionary anti-student inclusion, anti-LGBTQ, and conspiracy propaganda movements. Wow. Impressive accolades there. Keep at it, Bard. I'm sure you'll make the SPLC's list one of these days. All right. Thanks, everybody. That's all I got for you. That's all I got for you tonight. Come back for more anytime. We're gonna keep roasting the reactionaries until I'm out of jokes.
Terrific. And now we go live to James Lindsay for a rebuttal. Thank you, Brent, and thanks for giving a shout-out to Thomas Hamelrick. Good to see you're staying up to date on things. Coming up now, little Danny Tobackman. Welcome, Danny.
Brett, if I wasn't a fan of human rights violations, I wouldn't be here. So, all right. I'm going to go roast Mr. Bard now, because I don't think his ego can stand not being the center of attention for very much longer. But let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Bard. He claims to be a guru philosopher, and that's not a roast. It's his actual Twitter profile. His religious beliefs are atheists and panatheists, which, for those of you that don't know, panatheism is like regular atheism, which is the disbelief in God, but they have the added benefit of also believing God. Apparently, pan means I choose all the options. This is a theme for Bard in his life. He loves picking all the options all the time. He couldn't find a religion that let him do that, so he literally created his own. That religion didn't have a god because of the whole being atheist thing. So now the main doctrine of the religion is to create a god. It's called the Syntheist movement. And if you ask them if there's a god, they will say not yet. It's pretty much atheists that want to ruin it for everyone. When I heard he was a Swedish musician, I got so excited. He's a big guy, epic beard. Most famous song is called Crucify. I was like, oh yeah, let's get some of that Nordic heavy metal going. Then I actually hear the song, and it's some pansy-ass pop version of The Village People. It's pretty much YMCA, but if homosexuality didn't have enough options, it had to become pansexual. I should have figured it out from the name band, from the band name Army of Lovers. There's a famous line, "I'm a lover, not a fighter," which works for most hippies. But apparently for Mr. Bart, it's "I'm a lover and a fighter." He needs all the options, no matter the cost. Just take a look at his beard. He wanted to shave and have a beard. That's why his beard looks like a bunch of birds building a nest on top of a Sarlacc pit. When he sticks out his tongue, it's like a chinchilla's penis when it sees Taco Bell. He was a judge on Sweden's Got Talent. For those of you that haven't seen the show, it's a contest to see who can assemble IKEA furniture the fastest, and the winner gets a year's supply of pickled herring. He eventually left after he was told he wasn't allowed to choose all the contestants. He used to dress up as Barbie and dance. It was so bad they should have called it Oppenheimer. Get it? Because it was a big bomb. Bart has written 3 books on the internet revolution, collectively known as the Futurica trilogy, or as I like to call them, a terrible Hanukkah gift. I mean, Hanukkah is 8 nights and you got to stretch those gifts, but couldn't you think of something better, like pickled herring or a jar of cat pee? Oh man, can you imagine going to a restaurant with this guy who always picks all the options? First of all, you're only ever going to fusion places. Then you have to go sit through the waiter trying to explain the concept of a menu. No, sir, you can't pick all the options. No, sir, you have to pick soup or salad. You can't have whatever abomination is a soup lad. No, it doesn't help if you call this saloop. No, I don't want to join your religion and create a god. I'm perfectly happy with my own normal religion. He can't just pick a lane. I bet his favorite ice cream flavor is Neapolitan. I bet when he was a kid, he mixed all the Slurpee flavors together until they were the color of poo. His favorite animal is the duck-billed platypus, the animal notorious for trying to be all the animals. By the way, this is why you should always be yourself. If you try to be somebody else, you might become Mr. Bard. He always tries to choose everything. I bet his favorite food is a turducken. That's a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey. He's shaking his head no, because he actually puts the turkey inside a goose. I bet his favorite book is the library. I bet his favorite website is the internet. I bet he only watches orgy porn. I bet his favorite radio... He's saying yes to this. I bet his favorite radio station is AM. I bet his favorite weather is outside. So apparently, making and producing music, being a guru lecturer, and writing books isn't enough choices for Mr. Bard. He's also running Swagset. I thought that was wonderful and very happy for the Swedish people until I found out it's a political party, not just Alexander leaving the country. Mr. Bard, I think you'll get all the votes you need to win the election. Just pick one slogan and make that slogan Swagsit. I promise to leave. Now, who am I kidding? You're not going to be able to pick one slogan. Let me help design your campaign now. Swagsit. We stand for Sweden leaving the EU, good economic policy, and fair immigration practices. Also, searching for the divine in order to create the messianic machine with the agenda of creating the event known as God. Vote for us if you care about the economic and social stable future of Sweden. And if you don't, then the entity known as the demon Moloch from the ancient Babylonian era will invade our current reality. Parents will sacrifice their children in blood and fire, and 1,000 years of death and terror will cover the land. Plus, we'll be stuck in the EU. But I repeat myself. Layman, thank you for serving me up a softball for my first roast. Mr. Bard, thank you for being the object of ridicule that brings your betters together. Your sacrifice is one all of us are willing to make.
Merci, Daniel. Vive le Canada. Love the platypus and turducken references. Comedy goals. And now our final roaster, a fellow I like to call Alex, Ebert, and Ernie.
Can I speak? Wow, it's I'm so excited for this. I love I just want to take a minute to say how much I love talking with intellectuals, just being here, you know, people with the conviction and temerity and courage to stand up and speak out and say, you know what? I'm smart. That's right. I'm fucking smart. It's about time people stood up for themselves. We've been an oppressed group, you know, You remember the 90s when we had to go into hiding and pretend we were dumb, when it was illegal to be smart? Our brilliance forced to be a refugee in its own mind? No more. We stand firm today, united and proudly say, we use big words. Big, big fucking words, okay? I use them all the time. Normal people don't invite me anywhere because they're afraid I'll whip out my giant fucking words. You know, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them, and I'm proud of that. Nobody wants my opinion on Barbie or Oppenheimer or Aquaman because they know I'm going to whip out my big fucking words. It's going to make them feel small, but I'm going to whip out my big words anyway. You better believe I'm bunny boiling that text thread with my ornate theories. And they're going to say, well, you think you're so much smarter than us. And I'm going to take a breath and gather my courage and stand up for our kind, our extreme minority, and say to them, you know what? Goddamn right I am. And it feels fucking good to say it. It's good to be here. I must presume I'm only here because I wrote a song 15 years ago that still people post doggy videos to. But still, I'm happy to be here. And I want to see who's here. Okay. Tom, there you are. Look at Tom. What is Tom, Nordic? Who knows? You know, who cares? Look at him. He's like a J. Crew catalog model. He's got one of those Nordic accents that turns every sentence into a question. You can just hear him with his lover and key at the moment. I am going to fuck you. Maybe that's why Nordic folk are so taken with philosophy. They can't help it. They literally turn everything into an existential question. Pancakes are good. Well, shit, I hadn't thought about it like that, Tom. You tell me. And Andrew Sweeney. What can be said? Absolute spiritual mountain, this guy, right? Unmovable. I mean, a bunch of kids, bring a bunch of kids together, you know, kill them. He's unmoved. Spiritual fucking beacon. Do you know how white you have to be in order to kill little Palestinian children and still get up to do your podcast the next morning? Dumb shit Rinpoche and Poopyanananda have nothing on this motherfucker. He's an absolute beast of spiritual bypassing. Nothing phases him. I hear Yale's going to be doing a study on Andrew. Is that right, Andrew? Yeah, to figure out how they can synthesize ambivalence and sell it to the world. The future is bright. So bright, everyone's blind. And style, by the way, Andrew's a stylish guy. Don't let it fool you. He showed off his new fancy loafers before the roast. He does have both his legs. Yeah, you should see these loafers. Baby refugee skin. You could probably see, but he looks ready to hit the clubs. You can't tell, but he looks ready to hit the clubs, doesn't he? Yeah, against little brown children's foreheads. He bought those shoes just to prove his Buddhist equanimity to us. You're a sociopath, Andrew. We get it. Lay off the wabi-sabi. I'm kidding. Tom and Andrew, in all seriousness, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of us here, we're really glad that you have Parallax, this forum. I just want to say that without Parallax, yeah, I couldn't come up with anything that would happen. Parallax would disappear from the face of the fucking planet tomorrow. Maybe just life as usual. Anyway, then of course we have the demon god of jazz speak, the silver-tongued, peripatetic professor of improvised alliterations, White Coltrane himself, Layman Pascal. Of course, he has often collaborated on podcasts with Bruce Alderman, who's also here. I don't know where you found Bruce, by the way. You know, did he show up at your house one day with a stack of Bibles and pamphlets, or did he find you behind a dumpster at the Village Vanguard? Either way, it was a match made in heaven and hell. Astounding, listening to the two of you banter on with your encyclopedic knowledge of Eastern philosophy and the cult. But Alderman, I really must say, you're too nice to be here. I mean, you really shouldn't be here. Please leave or avert your eyes or something. I don't want you to hear any of this, young man. This is too rude for your delicate and nubile soul, good sir. I mean, run for the soft, sweet bosom blankets of whatever bleeringly bland textbook from whence you came. Or stay, it's your life if you want to waste it. Stay. Your presentation was hilarious, by the way, Bruce. Brent Cooper. Edgy, but meh. What is the friend zone for colleagues? Like, where do colleagues put their colleagues? You know, like what zone? Anyway, Brent is in that zone for everyone. You're a leftist hero, though, Brent, taking down lecherous lords of the far right with... How do you do it? Let's see. You make overlong lists of their past quotations. You feed them into ChatGPT, collating responses assembling them in a 400-page white paper, reading them verbatim on your YouTube channel. Sorry, that just put my face to sleep. As a leftist, I salute you, though, and your efforts, small as they may be. That's not a slight. What we leftists are up against is an absolutely monumental, massive Goliath of filth and greed, which I may add the rest of this panel represents. And so it cannot be expected that just one of us make any more than a small dent in the apparatus. Though with Brent, that dent is like watching anxious grass grow. He's the grass. Raven, as you know, you're only here because you're pretty. Just kidding. Sorry. You have a pussy, as everyone keeps mentioning. No, there was also a quota to fill, as everyone keeps mentioning. Gotta have a woman. It must be difficult, though, being a beautiful white woman. I mean, really difficult. No, really, it's got to be painfully difficult that no one cares about anything you have to say. But on half of us men, we are, after all, so glad you're here. Truly, it makes us feel chivalrous or like we're being inclusive. I forget which. Of course, there's no black people here. And of course, this group probably thought of that, the absence of it. But then, you know, being white men said, yeah, fuck it. Farsam, I don't know you, but your mononymic singular name, bereft of a surname, I can only assume you must be very, 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 very full of yourself. Well done, you beat me by one very. Believe me, I thought about changing my name to a mononym, but the extreme fame and acclaim of my natural name has already garnered in this short life simply prevents me. It's my cross to bear. Daniel Tabakman, I don't know you either, but I must say I would like to. I offer you my friendship, my kinship, my allyship, good sir, even money, if you will simply allow that I can use your good ethnic name as a project partner on some of my upcoming grant proposals. Anyway, just kidding. But not really. I have some killer Taylor Swift ticket hack and yoga retreat in Honduras and a whole actual Bitcoin. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Capiche? Finally, Bard. Alexander Bard, what can be said about you that hasn't been said already today? What a nice guy. No, Andrew said that. And I'm not saying it. But really, you're the reason we're here tonight. And the reason is because you've touched so many of us quite deeply, mostly without consent. A patrol car will be circling around momentarily to take you away, good sir. 10 years from now, when they run the tape back of this roast and they're like, Alex Ebert knew the whole time about Alexander Bard? Well, let me just speak to you future people right now and say, no, I did not. I just had a big, giant, raging phallic hunch. But let's get to the root of the phallus here, shall we? Let's not beat around the proverbial bush or the actual bush, but go deep into the hot, natural, blushing, mud-moist bush and penetrate the unguent membrane of this bald-headed man protruding from that gray Niagara of pubic hair dripping from his chin, this walking epithet, this spermaceous, spouting sperm whale of a man, and find out what's in this little faggot's mind, shall we? Let's imagine Alexander Bard at 2 years old, Lacan's mirror stage, okay?
Google Gaga! Google Gaga!
That's you, Alexander. That's you in the mirror. Yeah. Alexander, don't flick yourself off. Alexander flicks his mother off. Alexander, don't flick your mother off. Yes, even from a young age, Alexander Bard was a deep and prophetic systems thinker. Wait, sorry, I meant even from a young age, Alexander Bard was an absolute raging asshole. True story, okay? Here's a true story. He never learned how to use lowercase letters as a child. Yes, it was a very rare condition, a kind of textual autism known as, I'm a giant fucking asshole to self. Typing in capital letters all the time. I mean, here he is, just 3 years old, suffering from being the smartest person in the room, in his mind. The room in his mind, nice white room, cot in the corner, a little tiny window. A sanitarium is what I'm describing. Now, his real room had maybe a few caricatures of Zoroastrian gods on the wall, a little cheap Alexander Calder-esque mobile of the Nordic cross dangling over his crib, a baby bottle in one hand, because, of course, he refused unification with his mother's tits, right? A knife in the other to keep his mother away. He's a survivor, is what I'm saying. And really, we owe this man a lot. I mean, he hosts us every day and night in the intellectual deep web forum, not dark web, ladies and gentlemen, deep web. He hosts us there, and he's the most spectacular host. I mean, it's almost magical. How does he find the time to read and review everyone's posts and simultaneously absorb more cultural artifacts and books and essays and articles than anyone else we know? How? He doesn't. That's the answer. It's not a magic trick, ladies and gentlemen. He simply doesn't read any of the stuff he says he does. You don't need to read when you use capital letters to respond to everything. That's the beauty of screaming. Anyway, we've had our knockdown, drag-out fights and so on, and now I'm going to drop my script and just say that, Bard, I never went to college. You're my professor, my nutty professor. A little too nutty, but nutty. And I appreciate you, and I'm glad to be here for this roast. Cheers all.
Thank you, Alex. Some great phrases in there. Also, you're the only person to mention either me or Taylor Swift. Probably a coincidence, but time will tell. I'm loving this. This is the most fun I've had all week. Alex was our final roaster. At this point in the evening, we offer our guest, Alexander Gemini, an opportunity for rebuttal, insults, or commentary if he chooses, but he does not have to. Is there anything you'd like to say, Alex?
I'm lost for words. What an eclectic mix. And what a great start for the Parallax Roast, to be honest. Yes. I love you guys. So sweet. You're not going to get me roast you back. You're not going to make me do that. You know, but I'm just really happy to be here.
Okay, then. That's it. Whatever the hell it was. Turn off the oven, stick a fork in me. The roasting is done. It's been my peculiar.
I still seriously have no idea who this guy is.
I appreciate you're not alone in that.
No, I'm somewhat known for kind of knowing of everyone what's going on, and I genuinely had no idea who Alexander Bard was going into this.
Okay, Farsam, you will hear about Sutra and Tantra in this community. So I stay within the Tantra realm, and you have no idea what Tantra is, obviously, because you're simply lost in the Sutra realm. So I excuse you. No problem.
I've been ejaculating throughout this entire session here.
Listen,
Alexander, I don't come to where you work and knock the dick out of your mouth, okay? Okay, the roasting is officially over.
All right, then. It's been my pleasure to serve as your newly Christian roast master. I want to thank Tom for all his behind-the-scenes work. I want to thank all our presenters for getting over their jealousy of Alexander's massive phallic influence on global culture and joining us in this silly reverie. And I especially want to thank our guest of honor, Alexander Bard. He's been a great sport to do this. We all have a lot of respect for his work, except Farsam. And he's been a genuine inspiration to sexually fluid Gen X Nordic digital philosopher shamans everywhere. So from the bottom of my individual heart to everyone, thank you for processing this event, and good night.
Thank you, Layman. Well done.